Let's turn to John chapter 20. Begin here. John chapter 20. All kinds of different things can be brought out about the resurrection and about Christ, our Savior, and the things that entail from that. But today we just want to focus a little bit this morning on John chapter 20 and beginning in verse number 11. Peter and John have come to the tomb. They've seen the empty tomb and they've left. Mary Magdalene is still there at the tomb. And in verse number 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. I was reading this passage in verse 17 that just kind of stood out to me right there, where he says, go to my brethren. Our risen Lord identifies himself with his disciples. My brethren. That's pretty neat. Jesus Christ, God the Son, just won victory over death, hell, and the grave, tells Mary Magdalene, make sure you tell my brethren, not even just my disciples, but my brethren, tell my brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning of verse 9. Let's just look a little bit on this subject of being brethren, so to speak, of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Christ identifies himself with man so that he would taste death for man. He became a man. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 2, he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. John chapter 1, John tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn over there, Romans 8 verse 3, Christ, by the grace of God, identifies with man so that he would taste death for man. I mean, this is amazing. If you just stop and think about this, God is willing to identify himself with man, to take man's place, to take man's punishment, to take man's condemnation, so that man does not have to. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Galatians chapter 4 in verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4. You know, if you've been saved for some time and you hear about the grace of God, sometimes we have a tendency to just be dull to that, and it kind of becomes just a commonplace thing, and we tend to take it for granted, but we need to realize the importance of the grace of God and the results of the grace of God for us. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And in chapter 3 and verse 13, if you just look back there, remember this verse, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. By God's grace he is identified with man, so that he could taste death for man." 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. I know it's maybe a lot of verses this early in the morning, but you work up an appetite. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 16. No, that's not right. Let's go to 1 John. As I just said, it's early in the morning. 1 John 2, verse 2. Yeah, this one works. Verse number 1, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Christ identified with man so that He could take death for man. "It is also His desire to fellowship with man." That's interesting. If you study through the Bible, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8 and begin there. Go back in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 8. "It is His desire to fellowship with man." Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 30 and 31. Here, this chapter is personifying wisdom, so to speak. Wisdom is shown speaking here. But as you study this and you compare Scripture with Scripture, you see that this is Jesus. This is Christ. In Proverbs 8 and verse number 30, it says, "Then I was by Him," speaking of God, "as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." And in verse 31 says, "rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. And my delights were with the sons of men." It's still amazing to me that God would condescend so low, in my mind anyway, that He would want to fellowship with us. He wants to. It's His desire. I mean, the very fact that He came and went through what He went through and died on the cross and paid the price for our sin ought to show us how much this desire is to Him. He wants to fellowship with man. Not just select people, it's with mankind. Luke chapter 22. Look at how Jesus phrases this as they come to the Last Supper. Luke 22, verses 15 and 16. Says, "When the hour was come," verse 14, "He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. In verse 15, He said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." It's His desire to fellowship with man. John chapter 17, remember His prayer there in the garden. John chapter 17, as He's praying to the Father, what does He mention? Beginning in verse 20. John 17 and beginning in verse 20, the Bible says, "Neither pray I for these alone," speaking of the apostles there, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world." It's His desire. Ephesians 2, The Bible says that God went through what He went through and did what He did and provided a plan of salvation so that all who accept Christ can come to Savior for the very express reason that through all the ages of eternity He can show us how much He loves us. It's His desire. That's what He wants. It's His desire to fellowship with man. And because He was willing to identify with us, we now have the opportunity to identify with Him. And by identifying with Christ, we reap the blessings. What kind of blessings? Romans chapter 3. Here's just a few this morning. Romans 3, verses 20 through 26. The Bible says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, or without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." We have the opportunity to have the righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ. Not our righteousness, His. God can't refuse His own righteousness. When we identify with Christ, He sees Christ in His righteousness when He sees us. That's the blessing of identifying with Christ. And it's all made possible because He was willing to identify with us. Take our place. Take our sin upon Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. As you go there, remember what Paul said in Philippians 3, that I, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ, that's what he wanted. That was his desire, to be like Christ, to know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, this is a powerful verse. "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's a blessing of being able to identify with Jesus Christ. God sees the righteousness of Christ when He looks at the believer. And it's all made possible because of Christ's willingness to identify with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Another one. Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation. I can't be condemned for my sin, because Jesus Christ paid for it already. I'm in Christ. No condemnation. No fear of spending eternity without God. No fear of having something brought against me when I stand before God and being found guilty, because it's already been paid for. No condemnation. Because I've identified with Christ. John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. John 3, verses 18 and 19. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." How do we escape condemnation? Identify with Christ. Accept Christ as your Savior. Accept Christ's substitute sacrifice in your place. Accept what He did. Realize He paid the price for your sin, and accept the payment. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Identifying with Christ means you're no longer a slave to the things of the world. You're no longer a slave to your emotions, your feelings, your temper, the drugs, the alcohol, the cigarettes, and all this other stuff. That's not what controls you now. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's redeemed you from that. He paid so much to redeem you from it. When you accept Him, you now belong to Him. You have the freedom to serve Him. You identify with Him, and you determine to live your life according to His Word. No condemnation. Chapter 5 of John, verse 24. Remember what Jesus said here? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." All because Jesus Christ was willing to identify with us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Here's another one. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people in this world cannot put their head on their pillow at night and have peace? Way too many. And they want to know how to have peace. They try to figure out what I have to do to have peace. How am I going to make this right? All you have to do is identify with Christ. Because Christ has made peace. He is our peace, the Bible says. He's the one who made peace with God. He reconciled the world to God. God is now reconciled and able to accept those who will just come to Him in faith through Jesus Christ. It's because of Christ being willing to identify with us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. A few more verses. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For He is our peace. It's right there. You have Christ, you have peace with God. It's settled, it's done. That's all you need. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He is our peace, Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 1, just another book over. Colossians 1 verses 19 and 20. Two books, sorry. Still early. Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. Speaking of Christ, He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. In verse number 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, it's through Jesus Christ. We can identify with Christ and have peace with God. Justified. Stand before God and have no sin held to our account. This is paid for. Peace with God. Romans chapter 8, another one. Verses 14 through 18. There's a lot of stuff in Romans about this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We can be the children of God because of Jesus Christ. We can be His sons. His children. His children. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Be the children of God. In 1 John 3, verse 1. Remember this verse. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. John says here, Beloved, what manner of love, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I can be a child of God because of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The same person who died for me and paid the price for my sin and rose again from the dead and gave me victory over death, hell, and the grave is the only one who can condemn me. And the very fact that he did all that for me shows he's not condemning me. Condemnation can't come from anywhere else. Why? Because that very same person is also right now interceding on my behalf. He maketh intercession. Jesus Christ is interceding for me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I can go directly to God through Jesus Christ with prayer. I don't have to go through a man. I don't have to go through a middle agent. I have direct access because of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 4, of course, we're familiar with that passage, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then finally, one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning of verse 51. Clear back in the Old Testament, there are many passages that refer to this as well. Isaiah 26:19, where God says, speaking to the children of Israel, together with my dead body shall they rise. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, when you identify with Christ, you also reap the blessing that you're going to have a new body as well. You're going to have a body free from all the problems that it has now. A glorified body, just like Jesus Christ. He identified with you. You identify with him. You know, his identifying with us cost him so much. Yet, when we identify with him, how much we gain. How much he gives us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know this one too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Titus 3, verses 5 through 7. Beginning of verse 4, we'll start there. The Bible says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The things God has given those who will just simply identify with Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 21, last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 7. John sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. In verse number 3, he says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." His desire to be with man. So great that in the end of the Bible, we don't go up to heaven to be with God. He comes to be with us. That's how much he loves mankind. This is how much he loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to close with John 15, verse 15. Back to that upper room. Jesus, chapter 15 is, of course, where we find, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He says, "Abide in me, and I in you." But in verse number 15, he says this, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Go and tell my brethren. Jesus Christ identifies with his brethren. The question then is, have you identified with him? Have you accepted all that he has done for you in your place that you could not do? Have you truly repented of your sin and gone to Christ and asked for forgiveness and asked him to save you and identified with Jesus Christ so that when you stand before God, you will have the righteousness of Christ, God's righteousness? Have you done that? I hope that you have. I hope that you have. Maybe you haven't. I urge you, get it settled today. Time is short. There's not much time left. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and we need to be ready. You need to be prepared to meet God because he is coming very shortly. And how tragic is it? So many people will not be prepared to meet God when it is so simple to be prepared. Just identify with Christ. Accept his substitute sacrifice that he made in your place so that you can stand before God in his righteousness. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Again, I hope that you can say that at some time in your life you have accepted Christ and you have made him your Lord and Savior, that you have identified with him. Again, maybe you haven't. I can't make you, I can't force you, I can't do it for you. It has to be from you. You have to want to. God himself will not force you to accept this offer. You must make the choice. And if you have not, I urge you once again, get along with God, go to him, repent, ask for forgiveness, and ask him to save you, and you have his word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Accept Christ. Identify with a risen Savior so that you can stand before God in Christ's righteousness and you too can reap the blessings that come with identifying with Christ. Father in heaven, I thank you again for your goodness to us. I thank you so much for your love and your desire to fellowship with us and all that you were willing to do to provide a way of salvation. I pray, Father, you would help us to remember what you were willing to do in our place for us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to identify ourselves with you. I thank you again for all your blessings. I pray you would bless the rest of our day and the services that are coming up, the program and everything that's involved there. We thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.